Thank you for listening to Christian Family Church Podcast. Here at CFC, our mission is to live and communicate the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us. From wherever you're listening, we hope you'll be encouraged by this week's message.
The garden is quiet, but with an uneasy anticipation. A man kneels beneath a canopy of trees, trembling in anguish. Less than a week ago, this man rode into Jerusalem, welcomed as a king. And on this night, that same crowd will demand his execution. But for now, it's quiet and fitting that at this pivotal moment, we find ourselves in a garden. The scene of the crime. All those ages ago, in that first garden, our ancestors, Adam and Eve, were given everything to enjoy and one simple boundary. Do not eat the fruit of the forbidden tree. And Satan, the serpent, seized the opportunity. With his poisonous words, he planted the seed of doubt. Does God really love you? Adam and Eve take the fruit, and as they eat, their hearts stand together in rebellion to their Creator, saying, "Not your will, but ours be done." And that act of rebellion passed down through the ages, every generation carrying the seed of sin, every person guilty before the righteous judge, every person but one. This man, Jesus, who kneels in the garden, the cup of God's wrath, the penalty for our sin, stands ready to be poured out on him. The serpent watches, the echoes of his lies ringing down through the ages. Does God really love you? A trembling voice breaks the silence as Jesus speaks. "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." The serpent leans in. Can it be? Will the Son of God abandon his mission? Will this garden mark yet another victory for the evil one? Jesus lifts his head to heaven, and with his next words, both his fate and the serpent's are sealed. "Not my will, but yours be done." And unlike every human being before or after, Jesus lays down his will before the Father. And in the distance, the glow of torches, Jesus is cast out of the garden. The spotless Lamb of God is led away to slaughter.
It's hard to imagine being there on that day, on that Good Friday that did not seem so good at all. I want to read to you from the last part of the account of Jesus' crucifixion in Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 45 says, "At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you abandoned me?' Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. But the rest said, 'Wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to save him.' Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. Bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, 'This man truly was the Son of God.'" Now, it's a thing that a lot of people say at Good Friday is, "What's so good about Good Friday?" I wonder if, kids, maybe you've said, "What's so good about Good Friday when we remember that Jesus died for us?" Even just this morning, someone said to me, a lot of people asked the question, "Why is Good Friday so good?" Jesus, this great man, the great teacher that a lot of people call him, this wonderful man was whipped and beaten and put to death after being falsely accused and suffered a criminal's death on a cross. In a few moments, we're going to take communion together, not just yet, guys, but first I want to share just a little bit of how Jesus' sacrifice has changed my life with you this morning. Why Good Friday is so good to me personally. I grew up going to church. I grew up going to Sunday school every week. Anyone else do the same? But to be honest, I didn't see why God was so important in my life. I heard about God's love for me. I heard that he loved us, and that's great. But I thought, well, what's that got to do with me? As a kid, what did that have to do with me playing Lego and going to school? And how did this God have anything to do with my life? And to be honest, I didn't grow up in this church, but I thought church was really boring, to be honest. I'm no shame to anyone that was involved there. Life went on like that for me till I was about 14 years old. And as friendship groups in secondary school merge and change and life goes on, I found myself with people all around me but feeling incredibly alone. Ever had one of those moments when you're amongst a crowd of people, maybe you're doing life with a bunch of people, but you feel so alone? Maybe you felt like that in church, and maybe you even feel like that today. It's amazing how you can have a great family who loves you and cares about you, but when things get hard, you can feel so empty and so alone. And it was around that time I went to an event called Youth Alive, who some of you may have heard of, and the speaker talked about this Jesus who came, God in human flesh, and gave his life up. He gave his life as a sacrifice for our sin. He loved us so much that he died on a cross so that we could know God. We could have relationship with him. And to be honest, I look back and I really didn't understand the whole thing. I didn't really understand my sin and Jesus' sacrifice that covers our sin. But I decided on that day, I said, God, if you love me that much, I need you. I need to know you. God, if you love me this much, I want to know you. And I began to pray that prayer, God, if you're really there, I want to know your love. And I would love to tell you in that moment that everything changed. As soon as I prayed that prayer, it was like a light flashed down from heaven and everything was different, everything was transformed, and my whole life was never the same again. I never had any feelings of loneliness. I never had any fears ever again. But if you're like me, you probably know that's probably not the case. The reality was, as I began to read the Bible and pray that prayer, God, if you're real, I want to know you, I began to understand what Jesus' sacrifice really meant. Sacrifice, it's such a religious word, isn't it? We don't talk about sacrifice in many places. Jesus gave up what he didn't have to give. He paid the death penalty that we deserve to pay for our sin. He gave his life freely upon the cross so that we could know and enjoy his love forever. Not just in eternity in heaven, but in this life, we can know his love and his presence with us. Jesus' sacrifice changed my life. I'd felt overwhelmed, I'd felt alone, I'd felt depressed, I'd felt pretty much, to be honest, like life had no purpose. But suddenly, I began to see an excitement in my life. I began to feel a joy in my life. I began to have a peace and a confidence that I'd never had before that moment. To be honest, I found I had hope in a new way. I'd like to invite the communion stewards to come and hand out the elements as we're preparing to take communion, as I just continue sharing. And please, if you're joining us this morning for the first time, if you're visiting, please feel free to join us as we take communion. The biscuits are gluten-free. The grape juice is non-alcoholic. If Mum and Dad, if the kids want to join us too, they're welcome to. Just hold it carefully, guys. Or if you don't feel comfortable, please feel free to let it pass as the stewards come around. We just want you to hold the biscuit and the cup, and we'll wait together to drink and eat together in a moment. But what is hope? What is hope? Basically, I think it's a belief that things are going to be okay. It's an understanding that things are going to get better. Reminds me of that song, Things Can Only Get Better. Anyway, Jesus came to give us hope. Jesus came to give you hope. Even as he hung on the cross, Jesus was hanging on the cross and one of the criminals who were being crucified beside him called out to him and said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He acknowledged that Jesus truly was the Son of God, and he acknowledged that he didn't deserve what Jesus was going to enter into. But he says, Jesus, remember me. And what did Jesus say to that criminal hanging on the cross? He said, today you will be with me in paradise. Even for a criminal hanging on a cross who was being crucified for his actions, whatever they were, Jesus brought hope to a dying man on a cross. Today you'll be with me in paradise, he said. Jesus came to give us hope. That's why Good Friday is so good. As it says in Hebrews, the book that we've been studying all this year, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For what was on the other side of the cross, Jesus went through it all. There was so much pain in that moment. You know, I had some stitches on my back recently. I had a thing cut off. I had 11 stitches, and man, it was so hard to sleep. It was a bit painful. But you know, Jesus was unrecognizable, as Bree said. He was whipped and beaten, and he went through the pain because he knew it was worth it for what was to come. Jesus died on the cross so that all humanity could know his love and forgiveness for eternity. And church, we have a choice. Just as Jesus did in the garden as he prayed, Father, if there's any other way, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Just as Adam and Eve had a choice in the garden, as we saw in that video, and they chose, actually, God, not your will, but mine. We're doing it our way. Just as I did as a 14-year-old, and I prayed, God, help me to understand. I want to live your way. We have a choice. Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. Another way to put it, Jesus was saying, there may be much pain in this moment. There may be pain in the moment, but I'm trusting you to lead me through. Father, I entrust my spirit to you. We have a choice. Am I trusting in my ability? Am I trusting in my goodness? Am I trusting in my strength? Am I saying, no, not your will, God, it's my will I'm doing here? Or are we trusting in God's love? Are we trusting in his faithfulness, in his power? Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, no one will come to the Father except through Jesus. I want to encourage you this morning to make that your prayer today and through the week ahead. Jesus, I'm trusting you to lead me through. Whether you're having great days, bad days, whatever days you're having, Jesus, I'm trusting you to lead me through today. God wants to lead you through the challenges. He wants to lead you through the joys and help you know every blessing that you have is from him, and that you can do life knowing his love, his grace, his forgiveness, as Bree shared. That we can have a relationship with God, not just in eternity, but today. You can know his mercy, his grace, and his love for you. Because you know what? Even though it was Good Friday and Jesus hung on the cross, Sunday was coming. Sunday was coming. And we can trust in God's promises. We can trust in his faithfulness and in his love for us. We know what happens on Sunday. And in the moment, it's hard. In the moment, it's tough. But in God's love, he will lead us through. I just want to read from 1 Corinthians 11 before we eat and drink together this morning. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Paul said to the church, he encourages us to pass this on. He says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it." That's why we hold this biscuit. "And he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me,'" or "in remembrance of me," some translations say. "In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper." That's why we have the grape juice. "He said, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.'" You know, today's Good Friday, and Sunday's going to come, and then Monday's going to come, and you're going to have a week ahead that has all kinds of different ups and downs and journeys. But as we eat and drink and take communion together today, what we are doing is we are reminding ourselves to remember that Jesus is coming back, that we are going to face eternity, and he wants us to come to him, to know the life, the forgiveness, and eternal life that he has for us. For anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone who cries out to him and says, "God, I'm sorry for my sin. Please forgive me. Please help me live for you." And just before we eat and drink together, I just want to encourage you just to close your eyes for a moment. Maybe you can just pray in your own mind, in your own way. Say, "Lord, I'm trusting you to lead me through. Thank you, Jesus, that you endured it all. That you went through the shame and the pain of the cross. You paid our death penalty so that we could be set free, that we could have forgiveness and eternal life. And today, God, we just want to say thank you. Help us to remember, not just today, but every day, Lord, to know that you're with us and that you're for us and not against us. And Lord, today we eat and drink in remembrance of you. Let's eat and drink together today. Thank you, Lord. I just want to read one last verse. In John 14, verse 1, Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." I shared that verse on Wednesday at the funeral for those that were here. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You know, we can have some troubles come our way at times, but we have a risen Savior. He didn't stay on the cross. He didn't stay in the tomb. He is a risen Savior. I know it's Good Friday. We're focusing on what he did on the cross, but we have a risen Savior. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in me. Trust in Jesus." We're going to finish with one last song this morning. But just before we sing, this morning we have about 30 chocolate bilbies that were given to us by a local school, and they had them given to them from Woolies or somewhere. And this morning we've got some chocolate bilbies there, and I want to offer them to you, but not to take for yourself, kids. They're not for you. Sorry, not today. But you know, just as Jesus came and gave his life for us, I want to encourage you to think, even now as we sing this song, who can I share God's love with? And who can you take a bilby for today? And just go and give that chocolate bilby to someone. Now, if you haven't bought chocolate eggs for your kids or for your spouse or for your brother or your sister, it's not for them. You go and buy those eggs for those people. But this morning, if you've got a person comes to mind, we'd love to give you a bilby so you can give it to someone who you wouldn't normally give a chocolate egg or anything to, but I just want to encourage you to think about someone that you can just show some love to today or tomorrow and give them that chocolate bilby and say, you know, you could give it to them and say, "Hey, I'm a great person, I'm just going to give you some free chocolate, here you go." Or you could say, "Hey, I was at church on a Good Friday and they gave us some bilbies and said, 'Hey, think of someone and we want you to bless someone, I thought of you.'" And you can pass on the whole story, and maybe they'll even say, "Hey, what church do you go to? Hey, can I come with you on Sunday?" Who knows? But just have a thought about who you can bless. And beyond the chocolate eggs, who can you share the love of God with over this weekend? Who can you invite to come and join us on Sunday? One last thought. Tomorrow, all of the churches in Colac have been invited to join at the Baptist Church. They've got a time for people just to come and sit in the Easter Saturday time. You know, we have challenging things to go through sometimes from 6 a.m. to midday. They've got just an open time for people to go and just to sit and to think about Jesus' death and sacrifice for us. And if you'd like to go and be a part of that, I encourage you to join them. But right now, we're going to stand and we're going to sing together. I have this hope as an anchor for my soul. And there's nothing going to change what Jesus has done for you. Doesn't matter how much we mess up, God's love for you will not change. And that is the best news I can ever think of. So let's stand and let's sing this song together now.